Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. And what a week this has been. And it seems as though that the whole world is coming unglued and upside down. Well, that's probably true. Okay? There are a lot of people out there trying to do things to correct the problems. Some things are very good. Some things are not, because they don't know the real problems, how they come about. So we're going to talk about that today, but let's begin by coming to Psalm 11, because this fully describes what's going on and how, in spite of everything that is happening and occurring, God is with us and God is for us and God wants us to draw close to Him. And that's what these times help us do. So Psalm 11, here's what we are to do. Now, there are many things we can do which are given as things to take care of when terrible times come. But the basis is this: the world has rejected God, and Israel has forgotten God. And since nobody knows real, true history, they can't put together why these things are occurring. See? And really the ones, the heart and core of the ones who are at the cause of it, if you told them that you are the cause of this, they wouldn't believe it. We'll cover that a little later. But here, verse 1. In the Lord I've taken refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? Well, there's no place you're going to go to get away from it. If you go to the mountain, the water will cease. If you go to the desert, the heat will increase. Okay? If you try and build a bomb shelter, something may blow up above and cover you in there and you can't get out. If you store up and save a lot of food, which you need to have enough food, that's for sure, and water. But if someone finds out you have it, they're going to raid you. Because everybody's out for themselves, each one for him or herself. And those vicious, wicked people hate God. And they're trying to institute Satan's system on the whole world. Eventually, it will come. Okay? Let's read on. Verse 2. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready the arrow on the string, so that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. It's like Steve was saying, he was talking about a woman that he knows, that if he brings up God, she says, oh, I read the Bible when I was a child. I know what's in it. And then he said, you know what the first commandment is? Oh, don't bother me with that. See? That's the way people are. Okay? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? See? Who is our foundation? Christ. He's our rock. What are we to do on that rock? Build our Christian life, correct? Yes. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his searching gaze tests the children of men. And he also, those refer to the seven eyes that Jesus controls. There are the angels who are there reporting what's going on. Okay. The Lord tries the righteous. See? That's why we have trials. He wants to know, when you have difficulties, are you going to come to him? What are you going to do? See? Because we're at the point right now that unless you come to God, whatever you do isn't going to succeed, and if it does for a while, it's not going to last. Okay? But his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. And of course, that's what? The second death. And a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Now, you could also say this applies to war. See? Now, we got one going on right now, actually three. See? Fulfills Matthew 24. Do you know Matthew 24? Everything is being fulfilled right down the line. And some cases over and over again. Okay? For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Okay? Now, first verse, Psalm 12. Help, O Lord. Now, that needs to be our motto in all of these difficult and trying times. See? And you can call out to God many times during the day, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, and God will hear, and he will help you. Okay? For the godly man ceases. Well, not quite. Getting close. For the faithful disappear from among the children of men. Okay? Now, Wayne Julian sent me this McIlvaney Intelligence Advisor report. Now, here's a man who's trying to do the best that he can. He is a Protestant, and he's doing pretty good with what he has to say. But like all Protestants, they all do the high hurdle when it comes to the Sabbath, right? How many here have watched Charles Stanley? Okay. Now, Charles Stanley is one of the best Protestant preachers. But he won't acknowledge the Sabbath or the holy day. So, it's like this. You have a car that is 80% good. And the other 20% will break down the 80% in the final analysis. See? Now, for a while, it's better to do some good. For a while, it's good to keep the last six commandments. But look at the world today when it is wrapped up in Satanism. It's not doing any good. Okay? So he has a quote here, Victor Davis Hanson. You've probably seen him on on Fox News. He says this: America's heading for a systems collapse. Okay. You're seeing it right now. Kip and I were talking about the high gas prices. Double it. Okay. Food prices. What's going to happen with the food? Okay. Between Russia and the Ukraine, 30% of the world's supply of wheat is grown. And if this war doesn't get over and they get out there and start planting, we're going to have famine everywhere in the world. And to make matters even worse, the farmers are having to pay up to three times the regular price for fertilizer. And one of the ships that was sunk in the Black Sea was an ore ship full of fertilizer. Where do you suppose that was going? See? Wherever it was going, they're not going to get it. Okay. So be prepared. The sudden instability of once prosperous populations, if it continues with what had ensured the good life as they knew it, if that starts to come apart, then everything collapses. Tucker Carlson said, "We're watching civilization collapse in real time." Okay? So he writes here, "Indeed, the global elite are engaged in a multi-pronged attack to collapse our societies, economies, and freedoms so they can build back better and usher in their global fascist technocrat reset by 2030. Well, I don't know if they're going to make it by 2030. Okay? Now then, that's quite a thing. Let's see how these things come about. There's a process that happens. Let's come to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. Now, what is the feast that we're looking forward to observing in a little more than a month? Okay? And it's one the world would not do. And it's one that the Jews pretend they're serving God, but they're not. Number one is Passover. And that's the most important thing of all. Because every year we renew the new covenant with Christ. See? And in a way, and in depth, and with conviction, and with love, that those in the world with their Lord's Supper don't have a clue. What follows immediately after that? Because when your sins are forgiven, what does Jesus want? What did he tell the man who was at the pool for 38 years waiting for the waters to be agitated there in John 5, and he healed him? What did he tell him? He said, "Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." Okay? So, right after we take the Passover and do the bread and the wine and the foot washing and all of that together, okay, go over the words of the new covenant so that we can have them firmly cemented in our minds, then what follows immediately the next day? Unleavened bread. What did Paul say the theme of unleavened bread is? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay? How did America get to be the way it is now? That's the process. We'll see it here in Isaiah 5. Okay? And these are listed as the woes. Okay? Now, this is very interesting because here he likes Israel to a vine that he's planted. And when Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, on that last day, when he publicly denounced them so thoroughly, what was the parable that he used? The parable of the vineyard. Because Israel is likened to a vineyard. Okay? So he says, verse 3, "And now, O people of Jerusalem and men of Judah, I ask you to judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it?" America, what more could be given to us than what has already been given to us? Huh? And to select this nation because of the protection of two gigantic oceans to be the place from which the gospel is to be preached to the world, and he put it here instead of Europe or Britain, because there's nothing but war all the time. They hardly go more than two generations without a mammoth war in Europe. But here in America, there's peace. But what happened to those who were supposed to be the leaders in it? We'll see a little later. Okay? "I look for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes." Now, what do you suppose wild grapes symbolize? The law is done away. Huh? And what kind of fruit does that produce? "And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge." That's its protection. Has that gone from us? Yes, indeed. "And it shall be consumed." It could be consumed many ways. Inflation, drought, flood, hurricanes, tornadoes. Okay. "And break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste." Did he do that to Jerusalem? Twice? Not just once. Twice. "And it shall not be pruned nor dug, but briars and thorns shall come up." That's what we have today. God haters, okay, put in your margin or in your notes right there, verse 6. Read Romans 1, what happens when you forget God. And all of the things that take place, step by step by step by step by step by step. Do you want to know how bad it's getting today? Okay. The Democrats have a plan that they're going to enact in every state that's run by Democrats. And there's a big battle in Colorado over this, which is this. Not only legalize abortion, but give the right of the mother to let the baby die after it has been born. And in the bill in Colorado, there's no age limit. In Maryland, it's 28 days. Oh, aren't we sweet and nice? We'll let it live for 28 days before we kill it. What do you think God is going to do? Eh? That's what they want to do. See? And we'll see another prophecy being fulfilled. We already know it, so I'll just mention it. Deuteronomy 28. The stranger within your gates shall rise up high above you, and you shall be brought down very low. All right? What do you think these 4 million walk across the border immigrants are all about? 80% are young men, and young men means what? Military age, right? Think about that. Okay, verse 6. I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor dug. Briars and thorns shall come up, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Here in California, we've had just enough rain to fool everybody and make them complacent. Those of you who came over the San Juan grade, looked down there and saw the reservoir. It's 1/3 full. And the rainy season is almost over. One man who drives down to Los Angeles a lot, he's seen a change in the crops. Most of the farmers are switching to pistachio nuts because they take very little water. And yet at the same time, we have a governor who is so evil that he wants more water going to preserve little 2-inch fish in the river than sending the water down to the farmers for food. Okay? Now the farmers trying to get the water. But that's not where they should start. Because if it doesn't rain, doesn't matter. And who controls the rain? See? People need to return to God his way. All right, come down here to verse 8. Woe to those who join house to house and lay field to field until there is no place left, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. Look at what we've done. Right here in Hollister. Little old Hollister. We've got an Obama project of multiple dwellings. 3-story dwellings. Just, let's see, where are we? Yeah, just right behind us. Goes all the way behind us here. Okay? House to house. Look at the way that the Ukrainians live. Because they want to preserve the farmland. They live in these high-rise apartments, and most of them live in apartments. Now look what happens when the Russians blow them up with their artillery. Where are you going to live? How are you going to exist? What are you going to eat? Where's the water coming from? What about the babies? Okay? All of those are real-life problems, and they'll probably come here. Okay. The Lord of Lords swore in my ears, truly houses shall be deserted, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield 1 bath. Now, a bath is not a bathtub. In this case, it's a measuring container. And the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. Now, verse 11, this shows how it starts. Now, I've got a book that I got that was written by those in San Francisco when the homosexuals started taking over. Okay? Now, that's about 25 years ago that that started. And it started with the assassination of Harvey Milk. Yes. Okay? Then all of a sudden, gays needed protection. Now look at it. Look at San Francisco. I don't even want to go there. See? It's given totally over, except for the outskirts, to Satan the devil's way. With drugs and every evil under the sun. And the book was entitled, When the Wicked Take Over the City. Okay, now think about it. Let's multiply this. When the wicked take over the nation. That's what we're facing. See? Now, maybe if a lot of people get together and do what they need to do, they can turn it back for a while. But that's like getting rid of part of the problem. Okay? Read on. Verse 11, here it is. What are those who rise up early in the morning to go after strong drink? Not only drink, but drugs. And look at the drug problem now in America. They are lacing cocaine with fentanyl. And you just need 2 grains to kill you. At the orgy of the spring break down in Florida, there have been deaths because they have taken the cocaine with fentanyl. Okay. Who continue late into the night while wine inflames them or drugs inflame them. Okay. And the lyre and the harp and the drum and the pipe and the wine are at their feast. How about a rock concert? Okay. What are those rock concerts? They're to indoctrinate all of those into illicit sex and drugs on a vast repetitive scale. See? That's where we are. Oh, but these are wonderful musicians. Never forget, Satan owns Hollywood, Disneyland. He owns them, lock, stock, and barrel. Yea, they do not see the work of their hands. Okay. Now come over here to verse 18. Okay. So we're going to look at the woes. And as we look at each one of these, let's ask ourselves, are these happening? Okay. What are those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity? That's our whole entertainment world, right? Our whole educational system. I got a letter from a grandfather who wrote and said his 22-year-old grandson is changing gender. Okay? Now, you can't change what God created into something that it is not. Okay? Any more than you can take a motorcycle and make it do the work of a bulldozer. Never work. And sin with cart ropes. You're just dragging sin in everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Do a study of the city of Baltimore. Huh? And after that, line that up with Chicago. And then line that up with New York City. And then line that up with Los Angeles and San Francisco and Portland and Seattle. See? That's just the way that it is. And it's going to get worse. Okay? Who say, mockingly, let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so that we may know. No, he's not going to reveal his plan to all of you evil people out there. He's going to send plague, sickness, death, disease, mental illness, demons, Satan personally. Okay? What are those who call evil good and good evil? Thank you, President Biden. I cannot imagine what it would be like to live in Jerusalem, where Manasseh, the worst king of all, reigned for 55 years. Huh? Look what Biden's done in one. Okay. The only good thing that he did was when he was carted off into captivity, he repented. And when he repented, God brought him back as a vassal king. And he did clean up part of Jerusalem and the temple area. That he did. But Israel never recovered from that. Okay. Okay, verse 20, what are those who call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight and close-minded and will not listen to anything that is right. We can add that on there too as well, right? Woe unto those who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink and add drugs into that, who justify the wicked for a bribe. Okay? Now, look at who was nominated as one of the next Supreme Court justices. A black, okay, a woman. And every single case of hers that have come up to the Supreme Court have been overturned. And for child molesters, evil child molesters, as judge, instead of sentencing them to 10 years, like the law says, she gives them 3 months. Okay. Call evil good. Now, I want to mention something here that a lot of people who do not know the facts may really get upset with me. But they're trying to say that America is a racist nation against all other races, especially the blacks. Okay? I submit to you, they are scared to death because they don't want to upset the establishment to admit that there is black racism against whites on a vast scale in America. You look at every crime in New York City. Sixty-year-old woman walking along, a black man comes up, smashes her in the head, and walks off. Okay? That's black racism. But because this nation has turned its back on God, that's the automatic result that comes. See? Everybody is out there trying to cure the effects without understanding the cause. It's like this. You have a good car. All right? Your spark plugs get dirtied all the time. So your solution is put in new spark plugs. Well, new spark plugs work for a while, and they get all clogged up. Okay? And that's because you're using dirty gas and you're not filtering it. Okay? So the cause of all of this is the people have left God. They have left the Bible. They have left the laws of God. They have left the laws of the land. And that is all because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Look at it now. And look what has been done within just two short generations. Okay? The last 60 years. Amazing. See? Verse 24. So here's what we're looking at now. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame burns up the chaff, their roots shall be like rottenness and their blossoms shall go up like dust, because here is the cause, right here. Okay? A lot of people don't want to admit it. Now then, Israel, all of those who are Protestants, listen up. You hate the laws of God. You hate the Sabbath of God. You hate the holy days of God. And those are the things that you are bringing about, which is causing the nation to fall. Because you yourselves do not have the moral backbone, nor the courage to really believe God. You only flatter him. And your day is at the doorstep. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, now here's the sum of everything we've read up to this point. And this is what is happening today. Right today. See? And by the way, if you're a Protestant out there, don't come back to me and say that you have grace to sin. Because grace is given so you can obey, not live in sin. And faith is given so you can keep all the commandments, because your faith is breaking all of the commandments, and that's going up in smoke. Okay? Therefore, the anger of the Lord is kindled against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and has stricken them. You think this nation's been stricken by God? Yes, indeed. All these things come automatic. And the hills trembled, and the dead bodies were as filth in the midst of the streets. Look at the homeless. Oh, yes, we'll vote $1 billion for Ukraine. What about $1 billion for the homeless? And you know why they're mentally ill out there? Because you have let the drugs come in. And all of you politicians have been bought off. And don't try and be righteous and tell me how good you are. Just show me your bank account and your stock portfolio. You have been paid to do evil. You have been rewarded to do evil. That includes the president, and that includes the leader of the Senate, Nancy Pelosi, and all of those of the same ilk. Okay? It's coming. In all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You haven't done a thing to correct it. All right? Now, let's come to one other, and then we'll take a break. Let's come to Haggai, the first chapter. Now, Haggai is a little short chapter. Okay, it's basically two chapters. And it's about Israel coming back out of the Babylonian captivity and starting to rebuild the temple. Now, you would think after 70 years in captivity, two generations of young people growing up, and a whole bunch of them coming back to Jerusalem, that they would be happy, they would be thrilled, they would be anxious to do God's will, to keep his commandments, and to all get busy and do the temple. Right? You would think that. Yes? Same way here in America. With all that God has blessed us with, you would think we ought to be the happiest people in the world, most thankful people in the world to God, to praise him and thank him for all that he's given, his mercy and kindness and goodness. But what have we done? Forgotten him, neglected him, rejected him, and accepted evil, compromised every moral aspect of life that there is, every financial law that there is, and then we wonder why all these things come upon us. All right? It's because you don't come to God. So then, the people were saying, it wasn't time to build the house of God. But God said, okay, verse 3, chapter 1, Haggai. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in finished houses? Oh, I'm going to build my house first before I help build the house of God. And shall this, my house, lie waste? Now, you can apply this personally too, right? How many people leave God? See? Some few come back. God welcomes them back. But you got to repent. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord God, consider your ways. You've sown much, you bring in little. Isn't that true? You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You dress, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. That sounds like inflation. The other day, I went to buy some things, and as I was checking out, because all the prices of everything went up, okay? I mean, they're going up, 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 up. So I said, at the checkout stand, I said, why don't you get some smelling salts and put it right here? Yeah. And she looked at me and said, well, why? I said, in case someone at the checkout looks at the tag and faints, you can revive them. Okay? And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. So the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways. So, not only in the church, but in America, in every community, you better consider your ways and you better come back to God and you better forget about all of the Protestant nonsense and all the lies of the Catholics and the Jews and come to the Word of God and start with the Ten Commandments and keep the Sabbath day at home from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday and keep at it and try and find God, and maybe he will lift the curtain a bit for you. Amen. Let's take a break. Welcome back to the second part of Sabbath services for today. Now I would like to have you all turn to Ezekiel 22. Okay? Ezekiel 22 is a combination of the nightly news as prophesied by the Word of God, and against the people of Israel and Judah, and also his people, the churches of God, that need to come to God the way that they should. So let's read it. Ezekiel 22. I think you're going to be quite amazed at this. See, because the Word of God is true, every word, it's backed up by the Spirit of God because it's inspired by the Spirit of God. And God is the one who directs the Spirit of God. And all of us and everyone in the whole world, when the kingdom of God comes to the earth, is going to understand one fundamental truth. You cannot fight against God and win. You cannot fight against God and win. Okay? God is loving and kind and merciful and forgiving if you repent. But if you don't repent and confess your sins and come to him and quit sinning, he becomes your enemy. And you don't want God to be your enemy. Individually, collectively as a group, or statewide as a state, or countrywide as a country. Now, I don't know what's happening or why it's happening in the Ukraine. You heard many different stories about many different things, may be true, may not be true. But if you want to know how God can raise up an army against you and bring swift destruction upon you, all you have to do is look at the Ukraine. And remember this. They're only using non-atomic weapons. And look what they have done. Now, I was watching the American History Channel. It might be a good one to watch every now and then. It was talking about the atomic bomb, then the hydrogen bomb. But when they blew the first two in Japan, it disintegrated into nothingness about 120,000 people. And then look at all the tragedy. Look at all the destruction. See? So remember, you cannot fight against God and win. You will always lose. He offers you life and truth and blessing and forgiveness and a relationship that you can have with Him if you truly seek Him. So for all the churches of God, I'm telling you, quit your social club. Make it a meeting of brethren to learn the Word of God. And study the Word of God all during the week. Because we don't have time to play tiddlywinks or to fool ourselves into complacency. Okay? Remember what Jesus said to the Laodiceans. Anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. Okay? And open the door of your mind so that He may come in. Now let's read the evening news here in Ezekiel 22. Verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, now you, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Now that's Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem called today? Sodom and Egypt. Hey? And that's what the whole world is. And yea, you shall make her know all her abominations. Okay? God gets very specific. None of these nice platitudes that you come to Jesus with this nice little prayer and everything's going to work out. Now, they had a rally down in Florida. What was that, May 8th? I think it was May 8th, down in Florida. Big rally, big revival, everything. It was so ineffective and self-righteous that not one thing was changed. You don't come to God on your terms. You come to Him on His terms. Then you shall say, thus says the Lord God, the city sheds blood in her midst. Count all the murders, all the accidents, all of the abortions. Is that enough blood? That her time has come and makes idols unto herself to defile herself. Remember what we covered a couple of weeks ago? Where did the idols start? In the mind. See? You can come up to one of the most evil persons in the world who can put on a facade, and you will think that he or she is a nice person. But you don't know what's in here. What did God say there in Ezekiel 14? Huh? You read that. If you come to God with idols in your mind, and all you Protestants listen up, if you come to God with Sunday and Christmas and Easter and all of these things and the wrong grace, the wrong Christ, He's going to answer you back like you would never believe. Okay? So verse 4, you are guilty by the blood that you have shed, and you have defiled yourself with your idols that you have made. And I can't help but think about another verse. What does it say at the end time? What did God tell Daniel? Knowledge shall increase, and many shall go to and fro. And take that one phrase, many shall go to and fro. Look at travel by car, by rail, by plane, by motorcycle, by bicycle, by skateboard, by roller skates. Did I miss anything? Bus. Everybody's going on something somewhere. And all the cars that they love. Think about it. God's going to make you pay to keep that idol. So you better repent while you have a chance. Okay? And you have caused your days to draw near and have come unto your years. That means you are full of sin and I am ready to judge you. Okay? Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mocking to all countries. Isn't that what we are today? Huh? Those who are near and those who are far from you shall mock against you, O infamous one full of tumult. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one has used his power to shed blood in you. Who approved all the laws for abortion? All the politicians, right? Who approved letting the evil ones out of jail with no bail? All the judges, right? Okay. In you they have despised both father and mother. In your midst they have dealt with the stranger by oppression. In you they have oppressed the orphan and the widow. Is that happening through inflation? Yes, it is. You have despised my holy things and have profaned my Sabbath. Now I want you to take that short verse and I want you to think about that. And understand that, see? It's quite a thing, isn't it? The middle commandment of all the Ten Commandments is, Protestant version, forget the Sabbath. God's version, remember the Sabbath. And it's big. And it tells you a lot. And it's right in the middle of it. And you reject it for Sunday and say that everyone keeps the Sabbath is Judaizing. And you don't have a clue as to what Judaism is. You want to know what Judaism is? You go to Church at Home and watch the series I just did on Judaism. You have never seen anything like it. Okay? You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. In you are men of slander who shed blood. And in you are they that eat on the mountains. And in you they commit lewdness. all kinds of sin. In you, they have uncovered their father's nakedness and so forth, all the sex sins of incest, and that's what they're trying to get past now. Okay? Verse 13. Therefore, behold, I have struck my hand against you, against your dishonest gain, which you have made. Huh. Remember where it says of Satan about how his merchandise is in Ezekiel 28? Look at the stock market. Look at all the merchandising. Okay. There it is, dishonest gain. Yes. And you don't know the truth on what these big banks have done. And what you have made, and God says, I struck my hand against you, and at your blood, which has been in your midst. Can your heart stand, or your hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken, I will do it. Okay, now that's pretty strong language, huh? You think trying to cure the effects is going to solve the cause? No. Won't happen. Okay. Verse 15, and I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you in the countries, and will consume your uncleanness out of you, and you will be profaned by your own selves in the sight of the heathen. Isn't that what they tell us? Huh? They don't admire America anymore. No? And you shall know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, verse 18, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace, and they are even the dross of silver. So what is God saying by this? The whole nation is responsible. Everybody is in there. One way or another. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you've all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin into the middle of the furnace, to blow the fire on it and to melt it, and I will gather you in my anger and in my fury and cast you in and melt you. How that's going to work, it's going to be something. See, you cannot fight against God and win. There it is. And I will gather you and blow upon you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst of it. As silver is melted in the furnace, so you shall be melted in the midst of it, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. That's what to expect if there's no repentance. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. Look at our cities. How evil they are. There's a conspiracy over prophets. Okay? All Protestants, Catholics, and Jews, pastors, priests, bishops, cardinals, rabbis. Listen up. God has a message for you. There's a conspiracy of the prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made widows in her midst. Her priests have done violence to my law. Every single one of you who say the law has been done away, Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. And that is to complete with the spiritual requirements of the law for the new covenant. Not to give you a lawless grace. Every one of you out there who say that God has done away with his law, you are blaspheming law and bringing judgment to yourself and those poor souls that believe your lies. Her priests have done violence to my law, have profaned my holy things. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden. Now, here is your free choice in action. And this is what you do whenever you say that everything in the Old Testament has been fulfilled. It has not been fulfilled by any stretch of the imagination. When you say that the law has been done away and we don't have to keep the law, when you say that if you say this little prayer, oh Lord Jesus, I believe you're Savior, then you're saved forever and going to heaven. A lie. You are the ones. Don't you look around out at this country and see what's happening to the people and say, it's the people. You have made the people this way. You have made the politicians this way. Because you won't go by the word of God. Okay? You have hidden your eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Now then, all who are politicians, any public office, listen up. Her rulers in you are like wolves tearing the prey. Huh. Sound like Congress today? And all the state legislatures that are immoral, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get unjust gain. Have you seen the report? How many politicians are making money in the stock market because of the war in Ukraine? Huh? And then you pass the law so that no one can bring you to justice. And her prophets have covered themselves with whitewash. Next time you watch a Catholic priest or a Protestant minister or a Jewish rabbi, this is what they have done. And the whitewash is going to come off. Seeing false visions, divining lies unto them, especially now. I get papers all the time The last one I had was, oh, I heard this man say that we are ready to start the 70th week of Daniel 9. And I wrote back and said, don't believe it. Because there's no temple. There's no beast power. There's no king of the south. But you want the money. Seeing false vision and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. Think about that. Do you say things that God never said? If you're under grace, you cannot sin. God never said that. If you say, we're free to worship on Sunday, God never said that. If you say that it's all right to have crosses and crucifixes and statues of Mary and Jesus, so-called, God never said that. If you say, as a Jewish rabbi, that it's all right to cover your head with prayer and put on your phylacteries because God honors that, God never told you to do those things. All of your traditional laws are nothing but man-made chains of wickedness. Now the people, verse 29, like I said, this is the nightly news. And the people of the land have used oppression and committed robbery, and they have troubled the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Okay? Not true? And I sought for a man among them who would build up a wall for the land. Huh. I wonder who that man was. Who built the wall? What did they do with him? I'm not saying he's righteous, but he certainly has a whole lot more morals than all of the politicians who are after him. Has any of them withstood all of the investigations that Trump has had to go through and all the financial reports and things that he has done with his entire business through his entire life, and not one thing was wrong? You had to lie and steal an election so you can bring in your lies. Well, that's because the people have rejected God. See? So that I should not destroy it, but I did not find one. Okay. Now, let's ask the question. What do we do? What should you do? Okay. Come to Isaiah 55 first. While there is life, there's still hope. And there needs to be repentance on a scale never before thought of. And that repentance should be permanent. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Here's what you need to do. Seek the Lord while he may be found. How do you seek the Lord? You get a quiet, private place, and you get on your knees, and you be honest with God. Because God is there listening directly to you. You're not going to fool him. See? And you open your Bible to the Ten Commandments and start with every single one of them. And examine your heart and your mind and your life, asking how I have sinned against God. And when you get to the fourth commandment, remember all the things that you've done on Friday night and Saturday. Look at all the things that the world has set up to destroy the Sabbath. All of the parties and all of that sort of stuff goes on Friday night. Okay? Then what? And you have all the sports. And then all the sports on top of it on the Sabbath day. All the shopping. All of that is sin before God on a mammoth scale. So you admit that and you determine in your mind that you will keep the Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Okay? And you go on our church at home and go through every single one of those half-hour segments that we have covered, and we've got over 500 there. And when you're done with that, you go online to truthofgod.org, and we have got over 1,700 messages straight from the Word of God that you need to know. See? Don't worry about prophecy. You worry about your life and repenting of your sins and get that squared around first. Okay? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Now notice what he says. Verse 7. And this is what you need to do. When you see all the sin that you have been doing, and lo, there will be many. Let the wicked forsake his way. You stop going the way that you have been going. You stop believing the things that are lies perpetrated by the clergy. And the unrighteous man and woman, his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. How do you return to the Lord? By beginning to keep his commandments. That's how. And believing him. And believing in Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, who was the Lord God of the Old Testament, who brought these very words that we're covering right now. Okay? What did Jesus say? Luke 13. People were saying, well, the Tower of Siloam fell on these people, and they must have been evil people. Jesus said, do you think that they were greater sinners than anybody else in Jerusalem? I tell you no, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Right? Isn't that what he said? Okay. So don't look out and say, oh, this one did it, or that one did it, or my wife, or my children, or my husband. You, between you and God. Notice, if you do that, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will forgive and blot out those sins. But you cannot get up off your knees and start sinning again. You can't get up off your knees when God has lifted all that sin from you and then think you're going to be a good little boy or girl or man or woman and go to church on Sunday and think that God accepts it. He despises that. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. Okay? Come over here to chapter 56, very next one. And this is the prophecy of today. And this is why I'm bringing the kind of message that I'm bringing. Okay? Psalm 51, thus says the Lord. Now listen very carefully to what it says. Keep justice and do righteousness. What is righteousness? Commandment keeping, doing good, loving your neighbor, loving your husband, your wife, your children. Those are all righteousness. For my salvation is near to come. That's the return of Jesus Christ. Huh? And I can tell you one thing. If we're not living in the last days, now, we may not be in the last of the last days, but we're in the days leading up to the last days, and they're going to come. Okay? And my righteousness to be revealed. Now, when that righteousness is revealed, it's going to be startling. It's going to be amazing. The world is going to be fighting each other and thinking that this is an invasion from outer space. And they're all going to fight against Christ. Okay? Talk about righteousness being revealed. That's something. All right? Now notice, you want a blessing from God? You want forgiveness of your sins? You want to have a clean conscience before God? Start right here. Verse 2. Blessed is the man who does this and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. The Sabbath day is binding today. And if anyone tells you it's not, you can look right at him and say, you are a liar. Because they are. All right, now let's come to Amos 5. Let's see what else we need to do. Okay? God will honor it. God will provide the way. Amos 5. Okay? This is all part of it. And I'm here to tell you that every single word of God is true. Every single word of God is active. Every single word of God is living, meaning that if you sin against it, you're going to suffer the penalty of sin. If you love God and keep his commandments, as Jesus said, you will be blessed. See? Now then, Isaiah 5. Okay? Now, if you don't have our book, America and Britain, who are they in prophecy, you write for? Okay? Because we are the house of Israel in America. And we have parts of all 12 tribes intermixed in our whole population here. Okay? That's why this nation was so great. Because God gave it to us. And God raised up this nation. And out of it was to come the preaching of the gospel to the whole world. But when the great test came in the 1890s, the Protestants failed to repent. And everything has gone downhill for over 100 years. Now, here's the way you recover. Okay? For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me that you may live. Now, how do you seek him? By studying his word. By seeing. And also, if you're just new, study the Proverbs. The Proverbs will help you because you need to learn what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. And you will see that the book of Proverbs tells you that everything about God, whether blessing or cursing, comes automatically whether you love God and keep his commandments or whether you hate God and don't keep his commandments. Okay? Seek me and live. Do not seek nor enter into Gilgal. That's where they had their false worship centers in their day. Do not pass to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall utterly go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord, and you shall live. That's what God wants. Lest he break out like a fire on the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who have turned judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. In other words, a warning. You keep the commandments, you love God, you do well. Okay? Verse 8. Seek him who created Pleiades, Orion, and who turned the deep darkness into morning. If you want a real good experience, go on to the Hubble Telescope website or the Jack Webb website, and you look at the awesome pictures of the universe out there. So unfathomable and beautiful, and that in ages past they couldn't see it like we see it today, in its beauty, in its color, in its magnificence, in its glory, that God has made this for those who will be in his kingdom. That's an awesome thing to understand. See? So don't look at what I've said as something that is a downer and God is hateful. No, you're caught up into the midst of evil and don't even know it. So God is saying, come out and seek him. Try it. Who turned the darkness into the morning, and him who darkened the day into night. Seek him who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord of hosts is his name. Okay? That's what God wants you to do. And do those things that are right and good. Come over here to verse 14. Okay? Verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. That means beginning in your own home. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph, and that is your own household. Okay? So, that's the state of the nation today. Will there be a change? I don't know. This message, how far will it go? I have no idea. But at least it is there for what is there. And for those who have ears to hear, hear what God says. That he loves you and cares for you, but you have got to repent and come to him. So seek God and live.